Welcome to the Three Sisters Crime Squad. We are three sisters raised by an OG true crime lover, and we've been fixated on true crime ever since.
I'm Karen.
I'm Jana.
And I'm Brooke.
Please like and subscribe to our podcast on any podcast app that you like to listen to. We would love it if you would leave us a five-star review to help us move up the charts.
Also, if you want to join our squad, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Three Sisters Crime Squad. Or you can send us an email at threesistersincrime@gmail.com. That's the number three, not three spelled out.
All right, let's get to the show.
Pizza and Pop-Tarts.
Gross. I was going to say, I do need to warn everybody at the top of this episode that my kittens are in this room and they are chasing each other in and out from under my bed. So you will hear them. Oh. And it may actually sound like I'm being attacked.
I can't wait.
Okay. Well, I need to warn everybody at the beginning of this episode that my dog is in his cage in the room with me, and he's literally crying like a baby.
Is he whining? Oh.
Do I need my own warning? Yep. I am sitting in my living room with all my pets as per usual, and you will definitely hear something at some point.
Yes. Hear that? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
They're like,
what? Carlos has.
They're chasing each other.
Carlos has friends visiting on him.
Who does he have visiting?
Like, he has fleas?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You don't get him, like, frontline or anything?
Yeah, guess who missed his last dose?
Oh. Dylan?
Whoops.
No.
Robert?
I can't blame my... Yeah, let's just blame everybody else.
Well, I don't know who gives it to him. That's what
me.
I mean.
Me. Carlos, you didn't take your medicine.
Yeah. I can't remember what we give him. It isn't frontline, but they...
Well, I'm banished to... Like, I'm ready to light the house on fire, because what if there's... Please.
Yes.
You know, put a bomb in there and put his medicine on. It'll be fine.
He is not allowed to leave his cage.
Yeah. Although they can jump really far.
It doesn't take that long.
Yeah, I just put his medicine. That's why we had to delay a little bit.
I see.
Okay. I used to always... So Teddy used to get it once a month. It was like a chew that you would give him like once a month. And then my doctor talked me into going to this other kind that was like... every 12 weeks, and I literally would forget it every single time. And so finally, then the next time I went in and I was like, I want the monthly dose. And they were like, oh, really? Why? It's cheaper if you do the, and I'm like, because I forget. And then it's pointless.
Why does it have to be so expensive?
I don't really think it's all that expensive. How much do you pay? I want to say it's
$100.
For 6 months.
That's a lot.
$100 for 6 months?
That's a lot. When you have multiple
animals. That is a lot.
Well, that's a lot.
Yes, that is a lot. And we say it's a lot every time we buy it.
Oh, yeah, I don't feel like it's a lot. And I think I pay $160.
It's more if you get it from the vet.
That's who I get mine from.
The stuff from the vet was... So, I don't know. Nobody really wants to hear about this.
Yeah. Let's talk about fleas.
Yeah. Sorry. What's going on in my life? I'm ready to burn. The house might get torched.
Oh, yeah. Well, if there's ever a reason to torch your house, it is because of a bug infestation.
Well, I don't want anybody to think I'm gross. There is no infestation.
Okay. Brooke is not gross.
That is my fear.
Right, right. That's why he's not allowed out of his cage. Right.
Gross.
I think it's so dry outside that it's just that time of year.
It's just the time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's hot.
It's really hot.
Thank God we made it through the... head lice the head lice a couple years ago.
Oh. Yeah. That is one thing that we've never had happen.
What's that? Oh my God. You guys are freaking me out.
I'm sorry.
Fleas and now lice?
Yeah, I had to take extra medication when the head lice was in my house.
I would have.
I was such a nervous
shaved
wreck.
My head. That was one thing that we always like were pretty happy. Like we have a boy, so that's pretty easy to take care of. Just shave your head.
Yeah.
Can you hear them?
Okay. Yeah.
I have like a cat Indy 500 track in my room.
Wow.
Anyway.
Are you going to, do you want to tell everybody what we're doing for the month of September?
Yeah. Do you want to tell?
No.
You want me to tell?
She's like thinking about it.
Okay. So, we got, a good response from our last theme month. And which was survivors in the month of April. We did a whole series of different survivors of terrible crimes. And so we kind of had a little bit of an impromptu theme when we came back from our break in, was it June or July? Kind of like old timey murders. It was not planned in advance. We just kind of, it just sort of happened, but this one is one that we planned and we are going to be telling you stories of recently closed cold cases because Yay! Those make you feel so good when you finally get the bad
guy. An answer. Yeah.
Yeah. So Karen is going to start us off this week and then
I'm excited.
Yeah, we're going to go through some stories. I already have mine planned out. I haven't started writing it yet, but I know what I'm doing and I'm very That's excited fun. About it.
That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I like a theme. That's
I do
fun.
Too. I do too. We're not doing all themes all the time, but it is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm excited to tell you guys this.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I don't even know what you're doing. Well,
yeah.
You ready to start?
I didn't tell. Sure.
Brooke, you ready?
I'm all in.
Sweet. In.
The cats.
The cats are ready.
Andy Jack is in full swing. Okay. I am going to tell you today a murder story that is an I survived a near wrongful conviction and a cold case finally solved just this past June after 25 years.
It's I'm excited. I don't know what
all
this
the
is.
Things.
Yeah. I,
it's all the
like,
things.
Wow. I don't know what this is. Like, last June or this June?
Just 2 months ago. I could have made quite a few stories out of this one story. Okay. So give me if you want more info. Maybe we should end up doing a couple of little side stories out of it. So I did tell you it was a murder, so I'm just going to jump right in. The bodies of Julianne Williams and her girlfriend, Laura Winans, were discovered on the Appalachian Trail in Shenandoah National Park, located in Virginia. Their bodies were found June 1st of 1996. The couple and their golden retriever set out on a backpacking trip on May 19th, 1996. They were sort of celebrating. Julianne was starting a new job, and they were kind of celebrating that. And they were very, very outdoorsy. So hiking part of the Appalachian Trail was very exciting. And that was not a part. You know, they were well versed in the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Julianne went by Julie a lot of times. She was 24 years old. Like I said, she was getting ready to start a new job. She liked sports a lot. She had been a high school tennis champion, and she loved the outdoors. She's crazy smart. She had studied abroad the extinction of dinosaurs in Europe.
Oh my gosh. Like,
really, really smart.
Wow.
I know. And she had a really tender, kind heart. She was very tender-hearted towards, like, the less fortunate in her town, and people really looked up to her for that.
Sweet.
Laura went by Lolly.
I love it.
She was 26 years old. I know. Julie and Lolly. She was 26 years old, and she was described as very down to earth. She had worked as a wilderness guide. She'd gone to college. I don't think she had actually finished. She had grown up in a privileged home in Michigan, and she totally rejected that lifestyle. She ended up on the East Coast. She went to college for a while, I said. She was described by a reporter, Barry Yeoman, as a microbrew drinking, fish following, cigarette smoking, good time girl. Oh. She was fun, and she was I kind of picture her, anytime I hear of like a fish lover, I always think of like a kind of like modern day hippie.
Yeah. Well, and you said they're very, very outdoorsy, and they're hiking. Yeah, I can definitely picture her.
The two women met while they were working at a nonprofit that promoted adventure and travel for women.
Oh, that's
and they
fun.
Clicked. They clicked instantly.
I have a
question.
Are they a couple or just friends?
No, they are a couple.
Okay.
The last known movements of the couple, basically, they hiked before setting up a small tent by a stream just off of one of the horse trails. It seems like, from all the research I could tell, that maybe their murder occurred like the first night they were there. They were off on one of these kind of off the beaten path off of these horse trails. That was the rule. That is the rule on that part of the Appalachian Trail. I don't know if it's the whole part, but you cannot camp on a main trail. So you have to kind of go off.
Oh, that's weird.
They found a little place. They set up a little camp. Yeah, so they were just kind of following the protocol. And they, you know, like I said, were very outdoorsy, and that was no big deal to them. On May 31st, Julianne's father, Thomas Williams, reports them missing. And the park rangers immediately begin searching for them. The golden retriever was found quickly. He was found walking alone with no leash.
Oh, I hate that.
I know, but at least, you know, he was found.
Yeah. Well, right. The alternative is not good.
I know. Because that's what I immediately, when I read a couple articles, I couldn't tell. They I just saw that Taj was found, but it never said like
alive or dead. Or,
yeah. Like through several articles to try to find out. But yeah, they did find him alive.
That's good.
So the next day on June 1st, they found their camp.
Where they had been camping?
Yeah, they found where they had been camping.
Okay.
Lolly's body was found first. She was inside the tent. She had been gagged, and her hands and feet were bound with duct tape and some kind of a cloth restraint as well. And her throat had been slit. Julie was found about 40 feet away. Her hands were bound. Her feet were not bound. Both women were partially undressed, which makes sense if maybe they were going to bed anyway. And it didn't appear that either woman had been sexually assaulted. So let me push pause on Julie and Lolly for a second, and let me introduce you to Daryl David Rose. Daryl David Rose is a seriously disturbed man. He was in his late 20s at the time. In June of 1997, he was fired. So a year after this murder of Julie and Lolly takes place, Daryl is fired from his job. But the things his coworker says about him are like, he's the coworker from hell. Actual from hell.
Like, David is the co-worker from hell?
Daryl. I might have said David. Okay. I'm sorry. Daryl David Rice. Did I say Rose the whole time?
It's all right.
Oh,
you're correcting. No.
What the heck? I don't know who I was thinking of. I feel like I'm thinking of Schitt's
Creek. I was going to say that.
No, I was
saying. Ew, David.
Okay, you guys.
I love that.
Okay, airhead moment. Okay, second. Let's scratch that out. We are introducing you to Daryl David Rice. I don't know what the heck I said before. But anyway, Daryl is a super deranged man. His coworkers from his job that he was fired at, this is some description they gave of him. He stole his coworkers' lunches.
Oh.
He bumped people on purpose to cause them to spill their coffee.
I hate this guy.
He screamed profanities and sexual comments at them. He had punched a hole in the men's bathroom wall at work.
This is like pre-HR being involved and stuff. Like, that would never go over now.
He was fired from that job for being hostile.
You think?
I mean...
What on earth?
Well, I guess just a little background on him is unrelated to this case, but this really
nobody makes eye contact with.
Okay.
Wait. So, I have a question. It probably doesn't. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't mean anything. But what is the job that he's fired from?
You know what? Oh, gosh. I knew you were going to ask. Why didn't I write it? And I feel like it was some kind of IT thing.
Okay.
But I don't know.
It's fine.
I didn't recognize. You know what? I almost wrote it down because I thought, she's going to ask that. I just. I should have went with my own self. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you because when I was reading that, I was thinking, holy crap, this guy is ridiculous. Okay. So he is fired from that. But he is arrested in June of 1997, just 1 year after Julie and Lolly's murder, but for something totally unrelated. He even pled guilty. Okay, hold on. I don't even know how to start this sentence. He was arrested in June of 1997, just 1 year after the murders of Julie and Lolly, but on something completely unrelated. And he pled guilty.
Oh.
Daryl David Rice pled guilty to the attempted abduction of Yvonne Malbasha. Yvonne was a Canadian tourist that was cycling, not in the exact area of the murders, but along that same scenic drive. It's called Skyline Drive. She was cycling there with her friend, and the two became separated. Mm. And really was no big deal. They were going to catch up with each other. You know, maybe one is going.
That's or whatever. Awful. Like,
no, right?
She was just there.
Yes.
Oh, I hate that so much.
No really big deal until she was run off the road by a truck.
Oh.
The man driving the truck grabbed her by the chest, demanding that he show her breasts. Actually, she tells the Rangers a direct quote. He's screaming at her, show me your titties.
What the?
Whoa.
I know. He tries to wrestle her and throw her into the truck, but she's able to kind of use her bike as a barrier, and she is able to get away from him and run and hide.
Yay.
She actually hides. I don't know. You know, in my mind, I just see her kind of running off the path. She said she's hiding behind a tree, but I don't think she was all that far away. Mm-hmm. And he kept getting into his truck and like trying to run over her.
Oh my God.
So I don't know that he knew exactly where she was, but he was definitely using his vehicle to either drive her out of where she was or
injure her. That reminds me of the Joanne Lee's Peter Falconio, where she runs into the brush.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Australia. Yeah. Eventually, he gives up on trying to find her and drives away.
Wow.
And there's no one around on this
trail.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's.
I mean, I think when I say popular, it's still not like, you know, a main interstate or anything.
No, I know.
Yvonne is able to flag down someone, and the first car that she flags down happens to be a Ranger with a cell phone.
Oh, thank God.
So he was able to.
In 1996?
1997.
Oh, wow.
A year later.
Yeah. He is able to send out her her attack. Send out, you know, a description and get the information out very quickly. I mean, this is, you know, it's unusual for the, you know, it's new for the time. Yeah, I feel like
that's awesome.
Daryl Rice is caught super quickly. He had actually changed his clothes and his license plate.
Oh.
Police found leg and hand restraints in the truck, and Yvonne was able to identify him, and he was arrested quickly.
What? Yeah. Who was in hand restraints?
No. They found hand and leg restraints in his truck.
Okay. I thought you said he Yvonne was found.
Was able to identify him. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was like, there needed to be a comma.
He tried to act like he was the one who got attacked.
Grammar count. So anyway, she is able to identify him and he is arrested. And as I said earlier, he pled guilty to that and he was sentenced to 135 months in federal jail.
Ooh.
A little side note, I didn't realize this. I guess I did realize this. It was just kind of a reminder. So this is all happening in a national park.
Yes.
And so it's immediately federal jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And so while the local police are sometimes helpful or the state police, you know, are called in to help, it is a federal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the FBI. The FBI exactly. Does the investigation.
Was sentenced to 135 months in a federal penitentiary because it was in a national park.
Okay.
When you said federal, at first I was like, why? And then I remembered you said it was a state park.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was just a tiny reminder for me.
Yeah.
So with his obvious predatory behavior, he very quickly becomes a suspect in the murders of Julianne and Lolly.
Oh, good. Okay.
He denied being at the park during, during that time frame when they had arrived at the park till their bodies were found. But they actually do have video of him being there.
Really?
Yeah. In 2001, he is officially charged with the murders of Julianne Williams and Laura Winans, based on completely circumstantial evidence. Rice was charged with 4 counts of capital murder. For, you know, and I was confused about the 4 counts. I had to actually educate myself a little. So it's 2 counts of murder, but it's also 2 hate crimes because Laura and Julianne were gay, and it is considered a hate crime. Some things that he had said made them think that they might have been targeted because they were gay. He had said some things that they deserved to die because they were gay. And
No.
So he's charged with four charges of capital murder.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He is, I mean, I told you, he's a deranged person.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Let me turn page.
That reminds me of Annie.
Yes, and he's dropped page. So here's another spoiler alert. Rice is a piece of crap, but he is not the piece of crap that murdered Julianne and Lolly. In 2003, a hair from the crime scene is found, and they do some testing on it, and it is ruled that he is unlikely the suspect. This is
one.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was some mitochondrial DNA and some hair. And while it didn't rule him out conclusively, it was unlikely that he was a suspect.
Okay.
And with that DNA, without that DNA confirmation, that case really fell apart. And in February of 2004, the charges were dismissed without prejudice, meaning that he could be charged with them again if they came up with some more evidence, but he is no longer a suspect in that case.
Mm.
A lot of people are still convinced that he was the murderer because he does have such a past. And what are the odds that two
creeps
are at the park at the same time? Well, right? Which freaks me out because...
Now I'm going to say the odds are probably not as slim as you think.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm pretty sure right. the creeps are all hanging out in the parks.
Remind me, I don't like to hike. Anyhow.
No hiking.
Yeah, no doubt. So just 2 months ago, in June of this year, the FBI confirmed that the 25-year-old case has been solved.
Okay.
DNA testing obviously has come a long way, and tests have shown a match to a known serial killer, Richard Ivanitz.
Whoa.
In fact, tests that were done as far back as 2004 were shown a likely match, but they were considered inconclusive and they were never pursued.
Wow.
So Ivanitz himself, hold on, Dale is at the sink again and a phone is ringing.
That sounds like a real phone.
That's what my work iPhone sounds like. I actually have a call with one of my suppliers in Wisconsin forever. That's supposed to call me. Yeah. And I thought it was my phone for a minute.
Yeah.
I want to shoot myself in the eye right
Don't
now.
Don't do that. Okay. I need you to have both eyes.
Okay. So Ivanitz himself could be another entire episode. He is terrible. He's a terrible person. I didn't want to get into that because I feel like we might want to do an episode and it's a big one.
Okay.
But he is described as a known serial killer. So duh. No, right.
No. I've never heard of him.
Yeah. A known serial killer. I said, I don't want to go into much detail about him in case we want to do an entire episode about this deranged piece of crap.
Oh,
I actually wrote that up.
You know what?
Ivanitz killed himself, I think it was in 2002. So this is before I think he would have even been on their radar. But he killed himself after his most recent victim, a 15-year-old. Her name was Kara Robertson Chamberlain. Oh. He had abducted her, raped her, and tied her to his bed, and she was able to escape and flee and get to the police and report what had happened to her. Ivanitz, as soon as he woke up, he had fallen asleep. As soon as he woke up and he realized that she was gone, he took off. He took off.
Wow.
But on June 24th, law enforcement had him surrounded. And Richard Mark Ivanitz killed himself. So, I know. Although he never admitted specifically to killing Julie and Lolly, he did confess to his sister. And I have to assume this is like as he's being surrounded and he knows like his time is very short. You know, he must have had this planned. He confessed to his sister a lot of murders. And he basically said there were a lot of crimes and that he did not even remember, that he did not even recall.
Oh, wow.
I know. As late as June 6th. So one of the things that a lot of people right now, this is what I saw on a lot of the articles, are kind of annoyed, upset, disgruntled, because as late as June 6th of this year, the FBI was still putting posters seeking information about the murders, you know, and they would do this periodically on certain anniversaries. So this was the 25th anniversary and they were putting up posters. All the while, the DNA to solve the case
was there.
Was there. Yeah. It was sitting there.
That is weird. What were they doing? Like,
I felt, sorry for those girls' families.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Actually, I know that makes me have a question. When did he kill himself?
I think it was 2002.
So 18 years ago, not almost 19 years ago, he killed himself and they did not test the DNA. And he had admitted to killing them to his sister?
No, he didn't specifically. He did not. He had
others
been linked.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But
But he, at the time, obviously, he's a known serial killer now. He was not a known serial killer at the time.
When he
Does
died.
That make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They, he didn't.
Still seeking him for the one girl, the 15-year-old girl.
I mean, I know yes, a lot exactly. of things changed between, like, 2002 and now.
Right.
But I'm still like, why? I don't understand. I'm sure it's probably the same questions that you said people were asking. Like, if they had a DNA profile off of the two girls where they could conclusively link him, okay, why wasn't that in CODIS so that when his DNA went in, they would get a hit? Which then his DNA should have been put in 2002. I mean, obviously, I know you don't have the answers to that question. I'm just saying. Yeah. That's a question that needs an answer.
Yeah, this guy was able to, I mean, he had a long history.
Right.
You know, 20 years of wreaking havoc in Virginia. In an area in specific, it seems like.
Where they were.
Yeah. Well, I think they solved. Hold on. I want to read this thing real quick. In Washington Post, it says slain girl's case closed. It's 2002. They could have solved this much sooner.
Okay.
This is hopefully makes sense to people. In 2002, let me scooch back to my papers.
But they also thought they had that.
They had rights.
At the same time.
Yes.
Oh, so good call, Brooke.
Yes. Okay. You're right. My brain is not okay.
Mine
right
didn't either. So
in 2003, they did the DNA on the hair and the mitochondrial DNA, and that's when they were able to kind of rule out that it wasn't Rice, and it did show up as Ivanitz, but they ruled that inconclusive because there was a couple little markers that didn't match up.
Okay.
Now, with more advanced techniques, they were able now, at the end of June of this year, just now, to be able to say yes. Now, they could have done it sooner. They just didn't. And they would rather put up flyers. That's the big controversy with this case is...
Why did it take so long?
You know what I feel like they just did? Crime Squad.
Like, we got this solved for you.
You want us to solve it? Crime Squad
will
solve it.
don't count on me. I'm stupid.
No. Anyway.
It takes all three of us.
I mean, the evidence to convict him had been sitting there. And while he was dead, he was already dead and gone, it would have been a lot of answers for their families. Sure. But, I mean, if it's one piece of crap or another, I don't know if that was going to make it any easier on them either.
No, but you do want to know that the person is...
Right.
I don't know.
Not out there living the best life.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, yeah.
That's one of the things... Yeah, one of the things I was trying really hard, a lot of the cold cases... I didn't want to do a giant case like Golden State Killer or something like that. And a lot of the cases... The perpetrator is dead long after they find out. And while this one, he's dead also, it was just so interesting. There were two people, you know, two really creepy people in the same vicinity at the same time. Two girls got away. Mm-hmm. You know, their lives were spared. Who knows what was going to happen to them? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like anything. I know the one girl, nothing good did. I mean, she was raped. Yeah. Nothing good did happen to her, but she was able to get away. And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
After all this time, answers.
I know. I actually was watching the new Forensic Files 2. And one of the cases that they covered, and I'm not going to be doing it, was a girl that was murdered in 1982. And they said, like, the detectives that they interviewed said it was never considered a cold case. We were always working it. I forget what year it was that they found who her killer was, but when they found him, he was already dead, and he'd been dead for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really wanted to have some sort of great vindication for a family, but I got sucked into this story.
I like just that one.
Very tangled, and there is so much more information because is Avanitz the Columbia Parkway killer?
Right. Yeah.
Is he for all of them? You know, I mean, there's just a lot more information we could get into.
Yeah, so
a lot.
That's the other thing I was going to ask about, because the Columbia Parkway killer, there is another, isn't there two sets of gay women? Wasn't there another two women that were found inside their car, and one of them was in the military? But I don't think that was the one that you, the two people that you just talked about.
They were in a tent.
Yeah. Your people were in a tent. That's why when you first started talking, I was like, is this that Columbia Parkway? But then when you said they were in a tent, I was like, it's not the same one. Mm. So it is really weird that
area.
Yeah. Like it's in that same, but that Columbia Parkway is like 300 miles long. It's very long.
Yeah.
And it goes through a national forest
and it's sparse. I mean, I lived in Virginia, North Carolina, along the Blue Ridge Parkway, not along this particular, route. I mean, it is lush, dense forest, and it is, I mean, while we say it's busy and touristy, it's not busy like Disneyland. I mean, it's nothing like that. It is a very lush and dense forest.
Right.
And it is very scenic and beautiful and... You know,
well, I think anything along the lines of along that Appalachian Trail, people love to hike that area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a big deal if you can even do the whole thing or a part of it,
I know somebody that just did it.
Oh,
ooh, cool.
It took like 8 weeks off work to do it.
I know.
Crazy.
Our principal from high school did it.
Who?
Mr. Rao.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he did it.
Two of my friends from high school were planning to do it, but I don't think they ever did.
Like from beginning to end, like he picked up at one part.
Okay.
And went really far, but.
Okay. Yeah.
It sounded really cool. Like there's towns that you get to and they have like churches that'll feed you and places that you're allowed to shower and like. Most of the time you're sleeping on the trail, but in these places you might actually get a bed.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's not for me. I'm not that brave.
I mean, I don't mind hiking. I don't want to do long, like overnight.
Oh my gosh,
hiking.
Just like 8 weeks. What?
Yeah.
I am my father's daughter, and I consider camping, going to the Holiday Inn.
Yes, our dad is not a camper.
No.
Nope.
No, we never went. But yeah, I don't feel like I did that story justice, you guys. I'm sorry I was having a hard day.
I think you did fine.
I did too.
I really think it's very...
I could
talk about it all day.
Family.
Yeah.
The family of those two girls, like, thought that they had the guy. Like, this is what I keep going back to in this story. They thought that they had the guy, so they... built this extreme, I'm sure, hatred towards this guy.
Yeah.
And then they what? Get
and he wasn't
one day? Like, well, it doesn't really match.
Yes, that would be so upsetting.
And we
took a long time. Like
don't
have, like in two
Yeah.
Yeah. So like it took till 2004 for them to officially dismiss him as a suspect.
Yeah.
You know.
That would be an awful call to make.
Yeah.
And he was a terrible person. So he seemed
trying to hate him because he's
like I keep going back to there were two completely heinous people in the same place at the same time.
Yep.
So we lost Becky.
There she is.
<She's bad. laughs> Oh my gosh. If anybody listens to this episode, bless you. That's all I can say.
I think you did the pet. I don't think you did bad.
I was really excited about it. I feel about it right now.
You did good.
You did just fine by me. All right.
I don't know how you're.
Well, are you ready for a bad guy?
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Don't tell me you forgot to.
No, I haven't. I just forgot that I had it.
Okay. I need to replenish my bad guy file because I used to always keep a couple and I've used them. So I got to replenish.
Okay. All right.
All right, Brookie.
Comes from newser.com.
Newser.
They have good bad guys.
Yeah.
This one is a Long Island criminal defendant tried faking his death to avoid jail sentence, but the phony death certificate his lawyer submitted had a glaring spelling error.
Wait, his lawyer submitted it? Mm-hmm. What the heck?
Made it a dead giveaway. Ooh, for fraud.
A dead giveaway.
Yeah, prosecutor so said funny. On Tuesday, Robert Berger, he's only 25 years old, of Huntington, New York, now faces up to 4 years in prison if convicted for the alleged scheme. That's in addition to the pending sentences for earlier guilty pleas to charges of possession of a stolen Lexus and attempted grand larceny of a truck. Punishment prosecutors say Ooh. He was looking to avoid. It will never cease to amaze me the lengths that some people will go to avoid being held accountable on criminal charges.
Right?
What was the spelling
you got? He did also take, this is how the lawyer gets involved, take extra steps, however, to convince his then lawyer, prosecutors, and the judge that he killed himself, including allegedly using his fiance to pass a bogus death certificate. Prosecutor said, at first glance, Berger's purported death certificate looked like an official document issued by the state of New Jersey Health and Vital Statistics Registry, but there was one problem. The word registry was spelled
Red-sittery.
So registry, the correct spelling is R-E-G-I-S-T-R-Y. The fake death certificate was spelled R-E-G-S-I-T-R-Y.
Yeah.
It's like from Meet the Millers or We're the Millers or whatever. No regret? No,
regrets.
Anyway, so now he's got, I don't know, this goes on for like another paragraph about how stupid this guy is.
I want to know.
He ain't dead.
No, that's so, I want to know though, like what would have happened if he had pulled that off? Like, would the warrant go away? So then he would have been.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The original, yeah, his charges.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. Always use spell check. Because
I don't think he was going away for that long.
That's what I'm thinking, Brooke. Yes, you stole a car, but
I think you get that long for it.
Well, you don't Stop know what his record stuff. Was. Maybe his record, you know, he's on the third strike.
I don't know. People get out of jail for all kinds
know,
of stuff.
I know. Who knows? I don't know. That doesn't seem like a very smart plan. At least use the spell check.
This sounds recent too. Like this is like happening within the last couple months.
Oh my gosh. Yes, there's no excuse. They have the red squiggly lines for a reason.
The red squiggly lines.
Yeah, but doesn't a death certificate look fancy? It's not like just typed out.
I think it was like, you know, like a seal. Yeah.
Like an award. Well, it looks like an award.
That's the only thing I was thinking of too. Like he made his own. Like why wouldn't he just go and Google one and like copy it off the internet?
Because he's dumb.
Well, I guess that's good.
That's why we're talking about him.
D-U-M dumb.
He is D-U-M dumb.
So now he gets to stay in jail for a longer time.
Yeah, good for you. That was a smart play.
Holy yeah. Hannah.
Well. Yep.
Dummies.
All righty. Well, I like good job. I liked that story. That was interesting because it honestly is not one that I've heard, because I've always heard the Columbia Parkway ones, that was different than the Columbia Parkway.
Well, probably because it just recently got linked.
Yeah. I mean, I literally have not heard that one.
Yeah.
I could only find info from the Washington Post about, I mean, I didn't find, there's very few articles about it actually being solved.
Okay.
The Washington Post was one of them. But they, yeah, I'm surprised there's not more like celebration or info about it. Yeah,
that is kind of surprising because it seems like they've been.
Maybe because the FBI wants
to. Yeah, that's true. They're like, let's sweep this under the rug. We mess this up.
Yeah. I got sucked into that one.
Me too. And we're going to have to look that guy up and do an episode on him.
So who's next week?
Me.
Oh, good. I got one more week to research.
Yeah. I have a good one too.
Okay. Goody.
Yes. So I'm excited to tell it.
Awesome. Okay.
All righty.
Good job, sisters.
Good job, Karen. That was nice. And good job for the dumb fake death certificate guy.
Please don't.
Yeah, thanks for entertaining us.
And now we know how to fake our death. This is what
I was telling Dale about criminals. The thing about criminals is they always think they're smarter than everybody else.
They think they're
no matter how elaborate, some are more elaborate, some are less elaborate. They always think they're so smart. Right. And it's like, what?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I'm going to go finish my dinner.
I had Pop-Tart.
All right. Go nuggle kidneys.
All righty. I will.
All right.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Okay, y'all. We'll be right back.